American whistleblower Edward Snowden's revelations about the U.S. government's previously unknown massive collection of domestic and overseas phone and internet communications continues to be a topic of sometimes heated debate. Former Vice President Dick Cheney and other media pundits have accused Snowden of being a traitor, while many civil liberties advocates laud him as a hero. One National Security Agency program described by Snowden collects and archives the phone records of millions of Americans, while the other, codenamed PRISM, reportedly mines emails and other communications from foreign targets by directly tapping into the databases of internet providers like Apple, Google, Microsoft, Yahoo, Facebook, and AOL. The 29-year-old former technical assistant for the CIA and recent employee of an NSA contractor continues to talk with the press from his current location in Hong Kong. He stated one of his reasons for releasing the NSA secret documents related to what he believed were President Obama's broken campaign promises to investigate systemic violations of the law under President Bush while deepening and expanding several of these same programs. In testimony before the House Intelligence Committee on June 18th, NSA Director General Keith Alexander tried to bolster the White House defense of the spy program when he told legislators that his agency's surveillance programs have helped to foil 50 potential terrorist events since the September 11th attacks. Your reporter spoke with author and activist Norman Solomon, who examines the current public debate on Edward Snowden's role in the release of information on the government's secret blanket surveillance of phone and internet communication.
I think that the revelations about NSA surveillance, courtesy of Edward Snowden, has really heightened the crossroads that we're at now. And the cliche is, I think, for better and worse, true, when people lead, the leaders will follow, but not before. If you have a representative from your district in the United States House of Representatives or senators, it's very, very unusual that that person, even if they talk in progressive terms, will be willing to challenge this configuration of surveillance and unending war that Edward Snowden has really illuminated.
Norman, from your perspective, a lot of the debate around Edward Snowden and his decision to come forward in revealing this information to the U.S. and the world public is the debate about whether he is a hero or a traitor. And Edward Snowden, to his credit, says, I'm neither a hero or a traitor. I'm an American. And he's got a lot of courage because obviously there's going to be severe consequences for him down the line. But what do you make about the narrow kind of confines of the debate in the United States about who he is and what his motivation is, rather than focusing on the bigger issue of what he revealed?
Yeah, as the days and weeks go by after the initial revelations and him stepping forward as the source of them, there's a strong inclination of news media, you know, partly understandable, who is this person, but it's an overpersonalization which he himself has pushed back against. That is in danger of obscuring what's at stake. For instance, the Fourth Amendment, the prohibition against unreasonable search and seizures, something that is just central to the Bill of Rights that we grew up learning about in civics class. No, the government doesn't just have the right to come through your front door or back door or window and go through all your stuff and eavesdrop. You're supposed to be secure in your home and your persons and your capacity for something that we call privacy. And so I think that Edward Snowden is about as good as you're going to get, as we are going to get, in terms of a whistleblower who, out of principle, exposes massive wrongdoing and violation of basic constitutional rights, what we call the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, and so forth. I was speaking yesterday with the great whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg, who brought us the Pentagon Papers, and he remains absolutely unequivocal in his praise and support for Edward Snowden, as he does for Bradley Manning, now in trial and court-martial for, quote, aiding the enemy, unquote, as a U.S. Army private, divulging so many atrocities and deceptions trafficked in by the U.S. government. And we often forget, in that case, there was nothing that Bradley Manning divulged that was even top secret, let alone the kind of materials that Daniel Ellsberg released and is now revered as the whistleblower of the Pentagon Papers. So I think it's a tremendous opportunity, but certainly a challenge, to go up against the headwinds of a lot of the mass media and say, this is about our rights. This is about a government that has become a warfare surveillance state. It's bipartisan, and as president, Obama is driving that train in the wrong direction.
Norman, just a final question for you here, and that is, we hear a lot of discussion from people defending the surveillance programs revealed here, and they talk about a proper balance between security and liberty. But, of course, these programs are top secret, the details of which, beyond what Edward Snowden has already discussed publicly, are not going to be openly debated in Congress or in the public sphere. So how do we come to the right balance? Obviously, there are a lot of people in this country who are swayed by the argument that dozens of terrorist plots have been foiled by this system. And of course, it's people's natural reaction to want to remain safe. But how do we have that open debate about the proper balance when we can't talk about the details?
Yes, I think it's key that if we're going to have a society with meaningful consent of the governed, then the governed have to have meaningful access to information about what their government is doing or trying to do. And in point of fact, it's the secrecy that's antithetical to democracy. A lot of the media frame of finding the proper balance implies and sometimes straight out says, in effect, that the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, other key aspects of the Bill of Rights are sort of advisory. They're sort of like good ideas that you get to cherry pick sometimes some of it, and then you get to throw some of it away. And that's never been the concept presented by the founders. And we don't get to just pick and choose or have them picked and choosed for us and still have a democracy. So we've got to make those choices.
That was Norman Solomon, a former California congressional candidate, co-founder of RootsAction.org, and author of the book War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. Find links to Solomon's recent articles on our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.